Good morning. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Jason, for that message. An entrance shall be ministered unto you. 2 Peter, but how shall they hear unless someone preaches? I would like to this morning have you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. The title of the message is, Who is This? Taken out of that chapter. Today, I would like to remind you that millions of people across the earth, across the universe, are gathered together. Millions of people throughout history. Millions and millions and millions of people have celebrated this event. Some people call it Palm Sunday. The Bible doesn't say that. It is the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into the city, Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin reading in verse 1 to verse 16. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes. Think about this. A young donkey. Now, I am familiar with horses. I am familiar with donkeys. And you don't just take a colt that isn't trained and sit on it. You just don't do that. Especially not a donkey. But that's what they did. They put their clothes on this donkey, this young foal, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewn them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. Save us, Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Galilean carpenter. He's riding on a donkey. And everybody's coming out. They're breaking off palm branches. They're chucking their coats on the road. And he walks down Main Street. The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus says unto them, Yeah, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Let's all stand and pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and asking that you would reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh and living way. We serve a living prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive, he is well, and he reigns. This morning we see him meek and lowly. In our story, we pray that you would help us to understand, who is this Jesus? And what does that mean to us and to the world around us? We pray that you would again, over this time, the most momentous holiday, this coming week, you would bring to the fold men and women. You would call them out. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, my goal this morning is to show how Christ fulfilled prophecy, revealing very important aspects of his identity. I believe that more than ever before, we have critics who are saying that you can't prove nothing, that this Jesus whom you talk about is really only your idea. Brother Duff told me this morning he spent yesterday in Washington, D.C. at a museum, and one of the questions was, or one of the talks, whatever it was, can we trust the Bible? We can trust the Bible. So that's the goal. We want to look at three pictures this morning. Our king on a donkey, a prophet weeping over the city, and lastly, a priest cleansing the temple from sin and hypocrisy. So Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, and this particular event is recorded by all four gospel writers. You will find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It gives us interesting pictures if we follow this storyline. And I'd like to mention here in the beginning a prophecy that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. When we have only one man and one woman on the face of the whole earth, can you think about the prophecy, what it might be? Has specifically and directly to do with what is about to happen with Jesus. God said that, paraphrasing the prophecy, that he will bruise his heel, but Jesus will crush his head. He will bruise your heel, but he will crush your head. And as I see that, the seed of the woman So the woman brought sin into the world, right? Eve ate of the forbidden fruit that God said, you shall not eat. And Eve disobeyed and ate. When Satan came in the form of a serpent, she ate. And God said, if you eat, you will surely die. But she ate. Well, that's when the prophecy came, and God said, the seed of the woman is going to bear also a deliverer. So out of one woman came sin, but out of the woman came a savior. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a woman and was the savior of the whole world. And I thought to not be so hard on the women, because us men do this sometimes. We like to blame you when we have the sweat and when we have to work and we don't feel like working. And we say this funny little phrase. We say, oh, if Eve would have only not ate it. If Eve would have only not ate that apple. How fair is that? God then chose the woman. Why don't we talk about that? God chose Mary. And out of the seed of Mary, out of the Holy Spirit in Mary, there came a Savior. It's really kind of pathetic to just blame the women because of what Eve did. So, Satan is a defeated foe. God said that he will crush his head. He's somewhat bound. He's not inactive. We know that Satan is going around on the face of the earth. He's still active, but he is defeated. Praise the Lord. All power has been given to Jesus. So just another quick note before we get into our text is, if we read this account in the book of John, it reads, the disciples did not understand. In this context, the disciples did not understand. I think that should bring us some encouragement. The disciples did not understand. So the disciples are there. They're putting their clothes on this donkey. They sat him on the donkey. They see all the children coming out. And they did not understand. Until later, John says. Until after Jesus was risen from the dead. This is often the case with many situations in the Bible. We have pieces of the puzzle that we need to put together. And we'll look at different prophecies this morning. Each prophecy will be one piece. And just this isn't a good illustration. I should have chosen an animal that doesn't have spots. But oftentimes, if we just have one piece of the puzzle, we can't really make a whole lot out of the big picture. Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and later he came walking on the water, and the people who were there, the people who witnessed this miracle, thought it was a ghost. Jesus told the disciples, I will be delivered unto men and be killed, and they didn't get it. In matter of fact, Peter said, no, this can't be. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus told the disciples, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And Thomas said, We don't know where you're going. How would we know where you're going? How would we know the way? They kept thinking earthly kingdoms, earthly thrones. And Jesus kept teaching there's another kingdom. And then on Luke 24, or in the account there in Luke 24, we read that two men were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus joined them, and they were having this conversation as they walked. And when they got to their destination, they decided to eat, and Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. And it says, and their eyes were open. They immediately went back to Jerusalem, these two men, and they told the disciples what they just encountered. And they're inside this room, and as they told this story, Jesus showed up. And the Bible says they thought he was a spirit. And Jesus said to them, Look at my hands, look at my feet. And then the Bible says, Jesus opened their understandings. Isn't that what needs to happen to all of us? Who is this? Jesus. God needs to open our understandings. The king on a donkey. I find it fascinating that Jesus, a king, came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why not a horse? Or why not a chariot with two horses? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42. We'll read verse 2 and 3. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the earth. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now, I don't know what goes through your mind when you hear this prophecy. Some of your translations in verse 2 read, He shall not shout out. He's not going to be a shouter. Or lift or cry out, lift out up his voice. Nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Our Jesus is a perfect example to us. Yesterday I was talking to Brother Mickey, and we were talking about the days when you would take a big bullhorn and you go to the street corner and, Hey, repent! And just shout out and make a big show. And this was Brother Mickey's perspective, and I actually agree with him. If you do that today, do you know what happens? People run. Most of the people run. Jesus, Isaiah here prophesied that Jesus is not going to come as a shouter. He's not going to cause his voice to be heard in the streets. And look at this, a bruised reed. He's not going to break it. A smoking flax or a smoking candle, he's not going to quench it. If it, the flames is almost going out and you're struggling, this is our Jesus. This was 3 years of his ministry. Just before this happened, a beggar came to him who was as poor could be, and Jesus kindly helped him in his distress. One of the wealthiest men that lived came to him, a wee little man. He invited Jesus to his house, and Jesus dealt with him. Jesus cares about all the people. Zacchaeus said, "Oh, the half I own, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I took wrongly, I'm going to give back four times." So Jesus rode on a donkey, no show, no ostentation, just meek, quietly, letting the disciples put him on this beast, and he rode in. And the children are waving palm branches and saying, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the King!" And the disciples say, the religious people, get this, the self-righteous religious people are saying, can't you get them to stop? Well, why are they doing this? One of the gospel writers says that if I tell them to stop, the very rocks are going to cry out. So we have that one prophecy in Isaiah. Let's look at one more real quick. That's Zechariah chapter 9. Towards the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Here is a direct prophecy, which, look at this, verses 9 and 10. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, from the river even to the ends of the earth." Now, what would have you thought if you would have read that? What would have you thought if you would have been in Zechariah's day and you would have read this? Whoa. Whoa. Look at verse 10. "The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea." Whoa. When is this going to be? "Like water the sea, your glory shall fill the earth." Jesus said, "My kingdom is like leaven. And you put a little bit of leaven in a blob of dough, and it spreads through the whole lump." Brothers and sisters, this is happening. Last Sunday we looked at gradualism. And that's happening in a bad way, but also in a good way. Gradualism. The yeast is growing through the lump. And as prophesied here, today millions of people are gathering
to celebrate this. Next week, even more people.
In the last number of weeks, I met one man, and I have a very good friend who talked to me about another man. I'd just like to share this to give you a context of that this is happening. Murray Carter, he lives in Nova Scotia. He visited here two times. And Phil Wattenberg lives in Missouri. Murray Carter is a bladesmith. Murray knows how to make very high quality knives by a technique he learned in Japan, handmade knives. Murray Carter was not born in a Christian home and was not a Christian. And his wealth and his fame sunk him like it sinks most men. He's a very humble man today. It cost him his wife, his guns that he collected, his money that he had, and the women that chased him. It cost him a big price. But living in Portland, Oregon, Murray Carter hit rock bottom. And he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And he is a brand new man today. You talk to him on the phone, you get so encouraged. He loves to gather with other men. And he will pay whatever price he will train the Navy. As Brother Jason said, he will endure hardships. He will make sacrifices to not go back into sin. And I wish I would know this. I talked to him on the phone, and for some reason I thought that he mentioned that he was at an Easter service and heard the gospel. Phil Wittenberg, just a few years ago, attended an Easter service. He graduated in college in St. Louis, Missouri, was not a Christian, living a life of drugs and alcohol, and he attended an Easter service and heard about Jesus, and he heard the good news, and it completely changed his life. Today, Phil Wattenberg, my friend, says that his love for the Lord and his love for his Bible, get that, makes him a different Christian than most church-going people. He can't read the Bible enough. He loves what he's finding, and then he obeys. Today he is married, is a solid Christian, and has two little children. Amazing. One child and one on the way, I think, is what he said. This triumphant entry of Jesus Christ that we celebrate this time of the year is a beautiful picture, and it demands a response. And that's why if we can share this with the people, why we should bring people to church, especially over this time of the year. We have a story, brothers and sisters. We have good news in our broken world. Jesus, King Jesus, riding a donkey. All right, the next scene is Jesus weeps over a city. This one we're going to have to turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you could turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke the physician often gives some details that some of the other writers don't. And I don't know if it's because doctors are more detailed, but he gives, I think of the four gospel writers, he is the only one that writes what happened before they came to Jerusalem. They were at a high point, and Jesus stopped the donkey. He looked down at the city of Jerusalem, and it says Jesus wept. Maybe we'll just read that. Luke chapter 19. I'm sorry, I didn't put the verses down. 21? 41? And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knowest not of the time of thy visitation. Jesus stopped his donkey that he was sitting on, and the Bible says he wept. Now, Luke wasn't there, but the other disciples were. And it's recorded that Jesus is crying. And he's very, very distressed. Three times we read that Jesus cried. When Lazarus was dead in his grave, and he saw the women are crying, he was moved with compassion. And it says Jesus wept. Here, when he came up to the mount, he looked down on that beautiful city, and you can imagine, you know, maybe it's midday, maybe the sun is shining on the gold. It's a beautiful temple. And he's remembering, these are the people that God and I showed our strength to. They were captive in Egypt. We proved to them that we are more powerful than the most powerful king. And plague after plague, and finally the king said, just go. These were the people he walked through the Red Sea. These were the people he talked to. Their leader, face to face, again and again. And now he's sitting on a donkey, and he's weeping. He's saying, oh, Jerusalem. In Matthew, he says, earlier, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Just like a hen gathers her chicks, that's what I wanted to do with you. And he's thinking about the fact that he's going to tear their kingdom from them and give it to the Gentiles because of their unbelief, because of their hypocrisy. Jesus weeps. The city that, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets and stoned those who I sent. And it causes him to weep. If thou hast known what makes for peace, real peace, if you would just understand, lasting peace. Today, the United Nations and the United States and Israel and the Allies
are fighting a war. And there is chaos. And there is missiles. And there's drones. And they're trying to intercept them. And there is threats and more fights. And there's opinions. And the leaders of our countries know no peace. They have no concept of this king that once upon a time rode a donkey. He sat on a lowly donkey, and he's the King of Kings. He's the source of peace. Galilean carpenter. He is our king. Or is he? That's the question. Who is he for you? The people of Jerusalem said, "Who is he?" My question to us this morning is, who is he to you? Do you believe with all your heart that this Galilean carpenter is the only begotten Son of God? He will force no one to obey him. We already looked at the scriptures. He's not going to be a shouter. He's not out forcing people to follow him. But here's the thing. He will bring judgment for all the things that we have done wrong. He will demand justice. He will bring judgment. There is a day coming that will burn like an oven, and each one of us are going to be there. And everything is going to lie open and naked before him. Everything we have done. And he came to bring us peace. Who is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is who he said he is. 100%, I believe this morning, Jesus is who he said he is. My friend Victor, this past week, we were talking. He's from Turkey. He lives here legally. And he works for the same company I work. Victor grew up in a Muslim family. And so we're talking about what's going on. And he's very upset. Oh, he just hates Israel with a passion. He loves America, but Israel is just the biggest problem that you could ever imagine. Victor says that Jesus is a prophet. And the reason he hates Israel so badly is because they killed their prophet. Jesus was the first prophet. And they believe in Jesus. But the Jews killed a good prophet. Other people say that Jesus is a good moral teacher. He was a good man. He had good things to say. He taught good morals. He, you know, Josephus would even say things like that. And so they can't deny that Jesus wasn't a good person. But my question is, would a good moral teacher lie? You're sensible people. No, he would never lie. If Jesus isn't who he said he is, then he would be lying. Lastly, let's look at a priest cleansing the temple. Turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 21. A priest cleansing the temple. Here's where it gets close home. For those of us who grew up in Christian homes, who are being lulled to sleep by doing what is right and not loving Jesus with all our heart, with all our soul. Look at this. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Let's just stop there. The Gospel of Mark says Jesus went into the temple and looked around. Now, some commentators say that Jesus went into the temple and he looked around, and then he went home to Bethany, and he came back the next day, and he went in there, he made a whip, he tipped the single-handedly tipped the tables over and the seats of the money changers. I don't know what the order was of what is going on here, but Matthew says he went into the temple of God. He drove out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew their tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Just like the donkey fulfilled prophecy, this also is fulfilling prophecy. This cleanup that happened at the very end of Jesus' ministry fulfilled prophecy. Turn with me to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Actually, don't turn there. I'd like you to just listen to it, because I'm going to read it from another translation. Malachi chapter 3. "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look so eagerly, is surely coming, saying, says the Lord of heavens. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices. Then," now this is continuing, this isn't all fulfilled, "then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did in the past. At that time, I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers, against all adulterers and liars. I will speak against those," listen, "I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages." The judgment of God. "Who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive the fatherless and the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord, and I do not change." Quite a prophecy in Malachi. God's going to seek justice. Jesus went into his house and he did not like what he saw. The hypocrisy of his people. They turned the temple into an auction barn. They're robbing the people. They're selling pigeons. And he said, "You have made my house originally made to be a house of prayer, into a den of robbers. And single-handedly, he tipped over their tables. Can you imagine? I don't think there was any question about who's in authority here. Our Jesus is meek, and he is lowly, and he wept, but he is not weak. He is not weak. He is not even unnoticing of the things that we are doing. Brothers and sisters, hypocrisy is a problem. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Jesus is looking, as Brother Jason said, for those who will obey him. Those who will really love him are the ones who he knows. Jesus went into the temple, unmasked religious hypocrisy, and said, "You have made the house of prayer a den of thieves." But Jesus gives hope. Jesus gives us hope. And that's what I'd like to end on this morning. So in conclusion, we looked at a king on a donkey. We looked at Jesus weeping. We looked at a priest, Jesus, cleansing his house. Who is he to you? Who is this Jesus to you this morning? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? Every knee is at some point going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. Today, I'd like to remind you that it's up to you. Jesus is not going to force you, but where are you at personally? Each one of us, I'd like for a few seconds, ask yourself this question. Do I believe with all my heart? Do I confess this with my mouth that Jesus is who he said he would is? Can you trust the Bible and repent and believe? You don't have to ever kneel at an altar. You don't have to repeat certain catechisms and know certain things. And you don't have to even do a lot of things that you sometimes are confused about. But you have to bend your knee. You have to acknowledge that Jesus is who he is, who he said he is, to be saved. Peter said, if you continue to resist, don't do that. If you harden your hearts and say, well, tomorrow or maybe later, some point is too late. It's not okay to just keep pushing it off. Just like Murray Carter or Phil Wattenberg, Jesus can change your life if you allow him. And that's my message. We have not looked at all the scriptures I wanted to. If we would put this
if we would use this puzzle as an object lesson, just by themselves, they don't really paint a good picture. But you start putting the Bible together, the Old Testament scriptures, and you can clearly see everything just fits perfect. It's a little bit hard sometimes. But God's prophecies are like a jigsaw puzzle, and it all fits together if we allow it to. They fit together. The Bible interprets itself very well, if we allow it to. Jesus is the same today as he was. He is alive. He is well. And he invites all of us. That everyone that hears, that everyone that thirsts, call upon the name of the Lord. Let everyone come. With that, let's bow on our knees. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for revealing to us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would help us to love you more. And as we celebrate this season that we are in of Jesus Christ and his death, as we come together this coming Friday evening to remember your death, to remember what you gave to us, your humility of riding into the city where you dwelt, the temple and the Holy of Holies, where you, your presence was. You came riding in on a donkey, no show. Help us, Lord, to model that in our lives, to be little Christ to the world around us. The only Bible many people read are our lives. And we pray for grace, Lord. We pray for an anointing to be a witness. And whether that means here, whether that means to go, we pray you would prepare us for your work. Thank you, Lord, for life, for eternal life. Thank you for our government. We talked about them this morning. We pray that you would give them wisdom. Our prayer is that we could live a godly life, an honest life. And Father, we pray for the churches who are scattered in the Middle East with the terror and the fear that grips these areas where there is war, where there is people fleeing, where there is lack of food and good water. Lord, we pray that the churches would fill the earth like water the sea and bring hope in a time like this. In Jesus' name, amen.